This is Of Arms and the Man, a The Hobbit fanfic written by Soulspace and read by Raina Jenkins. This story is rated R, pairing is Feely Keely, and contains additional warnings for post-book, post-Battle of Five Armies, major character death, sibling incest. Feely likes the feel of the blade in his hand. He always has, ever since he was a youngster and he spent a day running away from his parents, brandishing his uncle's sword above his head and bellowing battle cries through the halls of Ered Luin. Even when his little arms tired of the weight and he accidentally cut himself on the cheek, the grin didn't leave his lips. He eventually found his way back home, dirty and messy, and waved the sword excitedly at his mother, while Dis gave Thorin a piece of her mind. "He's a child, Thorin, and he's your heir. What were you thinking, you half-wit? What if he chopped his own head off? What then? Do you want Keely to grow up without his brother?" Keely's done a fair bit of growing up since then, but some things haven't changed. When he sleeps, more often than not, he sleeps with his hand curled around the hilt of a sheathed dagger. It reassures him, comforts him, and he keeps that dagger safe in an inside pocket of his coat. He thinks of it as his last resort. It's difficult to draw, really, when his coat is done up, and he'd prefer not to be fumbling around with buttons with orcs leering in his face. But when they walk, wandering hill and dale in their meandering attempts to find their new burglar's home, it taps against his chest, over his heart. It belongs there. It was a gift from his brother, and on that winter's day so long ago, Keely had tucked it into that same pocket and said, "A little something for when I'm too busy to come and save you." What Keely had been talking about, of course, was that little blip in Feely's impeccable track record as heir to the line of Durin that had involved him getting himself captured by a rogue group of goblins just outside the borders of Ered Luin. Purely because he'd been sleeping off a hangover in the sun. They'd been weak, ugly little things, hungry and 100 miles away from where they were trying, and he'd managed to take down half a dozen before they piled on top of him with sneering teeth and grabbing hands. But he'd still ended up disarmed and with a dirty knife at his throat when Keely and Thorin came crashing into the firelight to save the day. Keely takes great pleasure in reminding him of that particular incident, but Feely never misses the quiet toughness in his brother's voice. He scared his family that day, and that's something he never forgets. Along with the sight of his sword so tantalizingly close, but his hands were tied behind his back and the only thing he could grasp was his heels. That's why he keeps knives in his boots now. There are hard sheaths hidden in the leather, custom made for him by the best cobbler he could find, a swarthy fellow in a town of grim-eyed men. And there are tiny, slim blades tucked away there every moment of every day. They've saved his life more than once. For some reason, the bad guys never search your shoes when they're looking for weapons. Once, during a bar brawl in a tavern next to the swarthy cobbler's shop, Keely had gone somersaulting past him and come up with one of the knives from Feely's boots, which he'd then used to carve them a path out of there. It's something he's done multiple times since then, and while Feely's not entirely sure he's happy about Keely treating him as a glorified armory, he doesn't really have anyone to blame but himself. The knives he carries, sheathed in his belt, are a different story. They're not for bar brawls and sickly goblins, because they were given to him by his uncle the day he came of age and was named Durin's heir. The best that ever came out of Erebor's forges, Thorin had said, with a gleam in his eyes. Relics, but still sharp. They'll take your fingers off if you're not careful. They're gleaming steel, mithril white as ice veined through in runes that say, protect on one and remember on the other. In peacetime, they occupy a place of honor on the wall of their forge, alongside the sword Thorin gifted to Keeley when he finally reached his majority after years of wide-eyed pleading and, is it my turn now? In wartime, Feely uses them to hack off the head of the orc that killed his brother. Keeley's never been that fond of knives. He can wield a sword with the best of them, and put the two of them together and they make a whirling force to be reckoned with as they fight back to back, hacking their next breath out of their enemies' throats. But Keeley prefers archery, the way fletching feels between his fingers, the thrum of the arrow through the air. He's also spectacularly good at it by dwarven standards, which helps. And while he didn't exactly mock Feely when he gave it a go, the incessant snickering from the sidelines eventually wound him so tight that he found himself grabbing an axe from the weapons array and just hurling it down the range. That's when he discovered that, while archery isn't his forte, he's quite handy with a throwing axe. Whenever Feely straps the axes his father made for him across his chest, he thinks of his brother's startled expression at that moment, and it makes him smile fondly. They're also very useful for tossing menacingly from hand to hand whenever Keeley gets into a particularly stroppy mood, and once in a blue moon for taking down the stag Keeley's had his arrow trained on for a good 5 minutes, fastidiously waiting for the right light. Archers. Feely rolls his eyes. For Feely, though, it always comes back to a sword in each hand and a roar in his heart. He can fend off Dwalin competently enough with a battle axe and slit throats with a single slash of a knife. But there's something simple about a sword, something noble and honorable. It may have something to do with the fact that it was his uncle who taught him. After Feely's childhood escapade with Thorin's weapon of choice, his uncle led him outside the mountain one day and trounced him with a wooden stick until he'd been almost reduced to tears. When he'd thrown down his own stick and sat down to sulk on the ground, Thorin came and sat next to him, stick forgotten, and said, "A sword is not a toy. It's not something you can just pick up and use. It has to be understood, respected. Now, would you like me to teach you?" They spent the next 3 months training together every day. Feely's not gone a week without sparring with his uncle since. The stubby blades he carries slung across his back are a gift from his uncle, too. They were among the first blades the smiths produced once they got the forges working in Ered Luin. Struck from the same lump of metal, tempered in the same water, they are twins in every way. One was intended for Feely, the other for his brother. Thorin showed them to him when they'd first started training, and Feely remembers his fascination, remembers tracing the runes that spell out his name, his brother's name. He learnt to swing them together, to use one sword to cover the other, to slice and jab and thrust, to fight for everyone he ever loved. When he sparred with his uncle, Thorin gradually holding back less and less as the days went on, he found himself thinking his brother's name over and over. Keeley, Keeley, Keeley. Thorin told him that they were a surprise, that Keeley wouldn't know until Dis let him train too, and, only a month in, he gave them to Feely for safekeeping, saying with a wink, "Your mother will kill me if she sees you waving a sword around without me present, so only use them in emergencies." Feely, of course, swung them every spare moment he had, slashing at high-backed chairs, fencing with his mother's dresses. And he never forgets the moment he swung too hard with the sword marked for his brother, and the blade shattered, shearing away from the hilt and crashing to the ground in 3 jagged pieces. At that, Feely ran to Thorin in tears, and all he'd said was, "Please don't tell Ki, he'll be so sad." Thorin never told, and when Feely was older, he reforged that blade, hammering it together stronger, better, and he took it to his brother and explained everything, offered it to him with an apology on his lips. And Keely looked at him with a strange, warm, pleading look in his eyes, and said, "I want you to keep it. I want you to carry me with you forever." That was the first time they kissed, the first night they spent together. Feely hasn't let the blade that bears his brother's name out of his sight since, because he has someone to fight for now, someone to remember and to protect and to love. And as they traverse the wilds with their uncle and his company, Feely roars his brother's name as a war cry in his heart. That was then. Now the swords in his hands are dead weights, dragging him down to the muddy ground. His axes are gone, his knives lost. The battle is over. Carrion birds wheel overhead. There are no shouts of joy, no cheers. This is a bloody day. "Keely," Feely says, soft and hoarse and bleeding. "Keely." The setting sun gleams on the bloody runes that spell out his brother's name. It's the only answer he gets. The end.